Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Wilmar Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhuwania from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neville. Good afternoon, everyone. It's our pleasure at ISEC to host Q2 FY24 results conference call for Adani Wilmar. From the management today, we have Mr. Angshu Mallick, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Shrikant Kanhere, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sumain Sheth, Chief Operating Officer. Now I hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, so we can open for Q&A. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Karan, and very good afternoon to all the participants who have joined this call, Q2 conference call for Adani Wilmar. As a ritual, what we will do is we'll take you through a very brief presentation to talk about how the quarter two went, what are the problems your company faced, and what is the outlook for the next two quarters. Post the presentation, of course, we'll open the floor for questions and answers. We'll be happy to answer the questions. To start with, the outlook to the business context for Q2, I think from where we left in Q1, more or less, the situation continued in Q2 as well. All the issues too. The hedges disalignment continued till August this quarter. But however, having said that, I think that issue is now over. Price disparity was in soybean as high as we were, the disparity of $80 a ton, but now the things have been improved. In this year, between April to September, India imported record soybean oil in anticipation that prices have already cooled down and in anticipation of demand picking up. The overall imports in India went up by more than 20%, and that also led to the inventory levels going up at most of the players, including Adani Wilmar. That also acted a little bit not in our favor because once you are up with the inventory levels, if prices go down from there, then you have an issue of high-priced inventory sitting in your portfolio. TRQ finally got discontinued, so it was something which the company had to suffer from the competition because the company's TRQ was over in the month of November 2022, whereas competition continued with the import of edible oil without paying duty. So that issue has been over in this quarter. One of the subsidiaries of the company, which is in Bangladesh, unfortunately, the crisis in Bangladesh continues. The country is going through a lot of issues in terms of currency crisis, in terms of inflation, in terms of interest rates. While we are keeping a very close eye on the situation in Bangladesh and we have curtailed our operations in Bangladesh only to the branded level, so we are only selling brand there so that our brand doesn't get impacted because we are number one player in Bangladesh also as far as the edible oil is concerned. The geopolitical conflicts now have become something which is very usual for us now because earlier it was Russia and Ukraine which was going through, and now you have a new conflict of Israel and Hamas going on. But fortunately, either of these geopolitical conflicts didn't have much of an issue on the supply chain of edible oil as well as any food grain. Till now, we have not been impacted by either of these geopolitical conflicts. In terms of the business aspect, for any company, there are two aspects for business performance. One, of course, is the margin performance. How have you performed on profitability? And other, of course, is the business growing, yes or no? I think on a growth prospect, we are quite good. The business grew double digit. So for the quarter, overall volume grew by 11%, with edible oil growing by 4%. Food FMCG continued its growth trajectory at 19%, which is majorly led by wheat flour, pulses, and besan. Industry essential grew by 25%. So on a growth perspective, yes, we are growing quite strong. If you look at for the half year, our growth, overall volume growths are at 18%, where edible oil grew by 15%, food and FMCG by 20%, and industry essential by 23%. And within edible oil, the branded segment is going faster than overall edible oil as a segment. Now, with this, the food is now almost contributing 18% of volumes to our overall scheme of the things. 2 years back, we started this with 10-11% of the volumes coming in from the food, steadily growing quarter by quarter, and now we have 18% of weightage of food sitting in it as far as the volumes are concerned. Of course, our target is to take it to 30% in coming years and thereby de-risking the edible oil business. So this is on a good trajectory and we are growing quite strong on this. In terms of distribution, our direct reach has now 650,000 outlets. Earlier we were sitting, last year same time, we were sitting on close to 580,000 outlets. Now it is and are close to 650,000 outlets. So it's growing. Present in more than 26,000 rural towns, which is because as we go forward, most of the demand I think will be coming up from the rural towns, and we are slowly expanding our footprint in rural town. Rural saliency in overall scheme of the things is steady at 30%. I think last quarter also it was more or less 30%. But having said that, in the overall the scheme, the rural is growing more than urban, slightly growing more than urban, and our expectation is that for the second half, from October to March, rural will even grow better than the urban. In terms of direct reach, from where we were in FY20 to now, we have grown 2.2x. In terms of rural town coverage, the growth has gone up to 8.2x as compared to FY20. So on a distribution front, we are working quite hard and we are hopeful that we will increase this distribution because it's directly linked to your market share. On a market share, the company remained number one edible oil player of India with a market share of 19.6%. This includes the market share contribution by our joint venture in South, so KTV Health Food. ROCP market on a MAT September basis, our market share is at 19.6%. We are number one player in edible in soybean, number two player in palm. We remain number one player in the mustard. Mustard oil is something which is we are growing very fast. This oil has shown a growth of 38% in year on year for us in the quarter. Similarly, soybean oil is also growing. So the whole entire oil basket grew by 15% when we look at H1. This is primarily led by sunflower and mustard oil. In terms of market share for food, we remain number two player in the country, although we are distant number two. Number one player, of course, is ITC Ashirvad, quite ahead of us. But good part is that we are slowly and steadily growing our market share, today sitting at 5.15% of market share. In basmati rice, we did see a dip in a market share from 9.4 going down to 7.4. This was also there when we spoke for the quarter one performance. Our take is that this is basically a one-time adjustment which we are seeing in the market share because of some of the retail schemes that we had last year, which got delayed this year. So our expectation is that by the time we end this financial year in March 24, this anomaly should get normalized and we should be able to see our basmati market share more or less equal to what we had left last year. On channel performance, we are quite aggressively focusing on the Horeca channel, which has been a new channel which we have added. This Horeca earlier was actually supplied through a wholesale channel. So we have slowly getting the dependence on wholesale channel reduced by having our own Horeca channel. This has shown a double-digit growth quarter after quarter. Branded exports has doubled in Q2 24 on year basis. So we have been now able to export to more than 50 countries now. And we are slowly increasing the branded portion of exports, which includes wheat flour, rice, pulses, besan, nuggets, and other soya products. Alternate channels, e-com and modern trade is growing very, very strong. Grew by 30% year on year when it comes to Q2 24, and similar kind of growth when we look at H1. There are few of marketing activities which we did, which includes a lot of stuff on the social media in terms of talking about rice, talking about nuggets, and talking about all our food products. We also did the print and digital media on various platforms, which includes the stations, which includes including a metro branding in Delhi, where we have branded 3 metro trains for the 3 months, and it has come up really very well. On the new product launches, keeping in mind the health basket and the health areas which consumers is always looking at when they try to buy the products, we launched Kohinoor brown rice in 2 brands. One is Kohinoor and other is Charminar. We also launched the Fortune biryani kit for the export markets. We already have a Kohinoor biryani kit which is there for the domestic market, but Kohinoor, we don't have overseas rights for Kohinoor. We have a Kohinoor rights only for the domestic, and therefore for the export markets, we launched Fortune biryani kit. We have already exported close to 20,000 kits to various markets. Another 35,000 kits order is in hand, which is getting fulfilled maybe in this quarter. We also launched export range of premium oil specifically for the US market. So the whole crux of telling all you is this, is that we do have a quite a high focus now on a branded exports rather than only looking at export in terms of castor and oleochemicals. Coming back to the financial performance, after Q1, not so very good Q2 quarter as well. As I said earlier, the issues that we faced in Q1 also continued in Q2. The disalignment of hedges continued till August, where actually we settled most of our positions which were there on the seaboard, and that we have moved forward. So having said that, I think the issues are behind us now, and we are quite hopeful that quarter 3 and quarter 4 should be better than quarter one and quarter two. For the quarter one on standalone, we registered a net loss, profit after tax of 87 crore, which includes one-time tax settlement hit of net of tax close to 40 crore. So business loss on standalone is actually on 47 crore, which basically came from three basic reasons. One is, of course, the commodity hedging loss. Another is, of course, the interest rates, which have gone up substantially in last 1 year because most of our borrowing is a dollarized borrowing. And third, of course, is this tax hit, which we have taken for as a one-time hit. Similarly, when you look at the H1 24 number, the profit after tax is basically a loss of 125 crore against profit of 232 crore for the same period last year. So the practically a delta of close to 450 crores of delta, which is, as I said earlier, coming from the hedging losses and partly because of the interest rate hikes and the one-time tax settlement which we did this quarter. On consolidated basis, things are not different. They are more or less similar. In fact, little bit, little gone adverse as compared to standalone because unfortunately for us, we are suffering losses in Bangladesh as well. But as I said, we are watching the situation in Bangladesh very, very closely and have curtailed down our business so that we don't lose any more there. We are hopeful that once the country goes to the election sometime early next year, the things should start falling in place there and we should have our operations giving us better results. So on a consolidated basis, the quarter loss is close to 131 crore, which again includes 40 crores of tax settlement and the rest is coming from the commodity and interest rise. On segment basis, revenues dropped by 13%, majorly led by edible oil, because edible oil prices corrected big time in last two quarters, quarter one and quarter two. However, if the very good part is that the food FMCG continues to grow strongly on revenue as well as on the volume. So revenue grew by 26% when we look at quarter, and revenue grew by 27% when we look at H1. And FMCG, food and FMCG and industry essential also gave us a good segment result. If you look at H1 number for food and FMCG, we can say that we are good EBITDA positive and has delivered a good number as far as the food FMCG is concerned, quite early than what we had expected earlier. Edible oil is the only segment which registered loss from segment perspective, which is more of coming from the hedging losses that we suffered. I think in edible oil business, one quarter here and there can be exception, but I don't think as we go forward in quarter three and quarter four, this problem will continue. Just to give you more flavor on how the things have been panning out for us, if you look at our quarterly trend of gross profit or a gross margin, rather I would say, it is steadily there for last more than 7-8 quarters, except for these last two quarters where we had suffered because of the commodity losses, which is evident for last 14 quarters. Similarly, EBITDA is also in a range of anywhere between 450 to 500 crore for every quarter, but suffered in these two quarters. And this is also reflective when you look at the per ton analysis of the margins. So our gross margins, as we have been saying earlier also, a steady state gross margins of close to 11,500 is something which is normal for our business, except for these two quarters. Otherwise, in last 14 quarters, we have been consistently giving this, and EBITDA per ton as well. So this is all from my side in terms of a short and a very brief presentation for the quarter two and what has happened. We tried to explain what are the things which didn't go well with us and what are the things where we feel that quarter three and quarter four should be good for us. Having said that, I end my presentation here, and I request moderator to open the lines for question and answer. We would be happy to take that.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the overall performance. So two back-to-back quarters, your EBITDA has been quite weak. So wanted to understand what are the learnings here? And second is, in spite of being a strong market leader in edible oils with 19% market share, 1% EBITDA margin or near that in the first half, both Q1, Q2. Why do you see this performance? And when you say that Q3, Q4, the performance should be better, how much better will it be? Because the commodity has been now stable for many months. In that context, 1% margin for 19% market share and number one player, what does this reflect on the total industry? What are the issues? What is the downgrading happening? Given we are seeing that in many other FMCG, if you could discuss that also.
Yeah, Abneesh, so to answer your question, see, quarter one and quarter two, the only issue which not Adani Wilmar, but I think entire industry faced is the disalignment of the hedges, and which is something which is very, very unique, very, very exceptional thing to happen, that you go and hedge your risk and it works against you. So what happened was all our hedges were not in money. Instead of protecting our risk, actually we lost money there. And this is only a one-time phenomena which happened for the quarter one and quarter two. So it's something which I don't think should continue as we go forward. And therefore, from a learning point of view, because your question was what were the learnings, I think there is no major learning as such. I think it's something which we feel that something which has happened once in a while and should not be happening again. And therefore, we are quite hopeful for quarter two and quarter three. Similarly, on an EBITDA margin per se, our steady-state EBITDA margins are anywhere between 3,000 to 3,500 rupees a ton. And if the market continues like this, and I don't think now there would be any further disalignment of hedges will be there. So we should be able to deliver that for quarter two and quarter three. Having said that, it's not about Adani Wilmar. I think entire industry did suffered on this, and I would request Mr. Mallick also to add to this.
Abneesh, your question is very right, that what is our learning? One of the learning that we have is that possibly inventory management can be re-looked at the way the markets, if they don't work in tandem, then one thing sure is that you can reduce your inventory. But then, you know, the country is consuming more. If you see our full H1 growth in edible oil, the branded packed edible oil has grown at 23%. Now, honestly, we have not seen this kind of growth in last 8-10 quarters or even more, before COVID also. So this type of consumption happened because after a long time, the edible oil prices came down. And consumption was, I would say, fierce. Out-of-home consumption was very good. Otherwise, branded packed edible oil growing at 23% is unheard of. So that we were worried to reduce the inventory, then we lose sale. And if we had inventory, so we had to buy. So when you buy, obviously your hedges were not in tandem. So that is one learning we have. But Going forward, as you said, it is now a steady state. Yes, last 2 months, little steady. August end, September was okay. October was even better, I would say. So our pain has now gone. So going forward, we should perform the way we were performing, possibly better. And as you rightly said, if the number one brand is not earning, then how can the industry earn? Obviously, we have been earning in edible oil, and we see that coming back in action from Q3 onwards. Bigger issues, bigger good thing that is for food business, that the food FMCG business grew at 19% this quarter, but domestic, we have grown at 52%. What we lost on is the export of rice. That was a big chunk of the business that we lost, so that reduced our growth overall. Otherwise, if you see the domestic growth because of Kohinoor and Fortune, Basmati rice, we have grown at 50%. Branded atta, Fortune atta has grown at 50%. So that is a very good sign of, one, consumption, second, brand strength, and third, distribution strength. So going forward, we are very optimistic about our performance from Q3 onwards.
Sure, thanks for the answer. Two very quick follow-up. So one is, in terms of the hedging impact, can you quantify both in Q1, Q2? And second, would you be changing your hedging policy? I understand the inventory levels can be very dynamic, so I'm not questioning that. But in terms of the overall hedging process, do you see some change which is needed? And third is, whenever deflation happens in edible oil, the margins in fact go up because your cost, your profit is mostly on in terms of the tonnage. So will that be again happening in H2 and FY 25 when things are stable and you get benefit of the current RM? Would you expect that actually the EBITDA margin should be ahead of what was seen in the stable periods of last 2 years?
See, Abneesh, if you look at the profitability for H1, I will talk on H1 rather than only talking on a Q2. So last year, we had a net profit of 242 crore. Against this year, it is 210. Of this 210, you can take out that one-time tax hit. So there is a delta of, you know, close to 350 crore between the profitability which we registered last year and this year. And now this majority of this basically is due to the hedging losses. Yeah. Now, these hedging losses, as we earlier said, it's not because we kept positions open. It is because we hedged. And therefore, it turned counterproductive for us. Usually, it doesn't, never, but it's one time only. Having said that, there is no need to change in a risk management policy. In fact, because of the risk management policy, we could restrict the losses to the extent of only 15% to 20% of our full year EBITDA. Having said that, there is no change in the hedging policy, except for the fact that one corrective action that company may think of taking is that we can distribute the hedges between various mechanisms. For example, we can reduce the hedges on the CBOT rather than we can take it on the OTC. So that is something company is certainly looking at, and we will take that corrective action. One is that. And therefore, when we go into the quarter three and quarter four, since this disalignment is more or less now been over, we should be looking at a steady state run rate, which we were giving in past some quarters, and therefore the things should look better for the half two.
And your margins will improve?
Yeah, of course, they should improve on two counts. One is your quarter margin has to improve because we don't foresee now more hedging losses coming in next two quarters. Number two, though we don't look at margins as a percentage of the revenue, but those will also improve given the fact that the prices have already corrected and the prices are at very low level. So in terms of percentage to the revenue as well as per ton, in both the metrics, you should see the improvement in the market.
Sure. My last question is on your basmati rice. As per your presentation, you lost around 200 bits market share. Wanted to understand there, is there any one-off? Second is in terms of the exports, would you need to set up new distribution teams, new distribution tie-ups? Because the two other listed basmati rice players are doing really well. Of course, a lot of regulation changes are happening. So in terms of exports, what kind of a scale-up in team and distribution you would be needing?
On this market share loss of around 200 points, one is that, you know, Basmati rice, 50% of the business comes from modern trade and e-com. Now, in modern trade, normally we have tie-ups for big days and big schemes. Last year, April, May, we had a big scheme with Reliance, and our volumes were very high for 2 months of Fortune. But this year, we shifted that to Kohinoor, and this year we did with Kohinoor and oil, our oil and Kohinoor Basmati rice. Obviously, the Fortune was not taken. Now you see in October, November, Fortune and our rice bran oil is the combi pack for Reliance. And I can tell you, these are big events where more than 500,000 packs are sold, minimum 500,000. It can be even 700,000 ton to 1,000,000 packs in 2 months. So that is the kind of volume that comes together. So the market share, you know, jumps and then again comes down. That is what it is. But nonetheless, we have noted it, and we are working on how to increase our presence in general trade and all that. That is part one. Part two is that export. Yes, export is a bigger market for Basmati rice. So we have started increasing our presence and distribution of Fortune brand. We have started Jubilee brand as a second brand, and we are now looking at different markets for Jubilee. But other than that, we have tied up with few good parties in Saudi and other countries where we have started negotiating for big volumes coming October, November onwards, because they start buying only from November, new crop comes in. So November onwards, we have done it. Domestic market also, our HoReCa department has started working very well. And as you know, HoReCa market is going to be very big with the new marriage season coming in. There also, we have started contracting the caterers and hotels and all that for banquet and all that. So big volumes are expected in H2 in both Basmati rice, edible oil, and other food products.
So thanks. That's all from me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Karan Bhuwania from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, on the drop in profitability, so I see there's a drop in profitability in gross margin and EBITDA level as well. However, the drop at EBITDA level is much higher. So what can we expect? How can we see this profitability going forward in, say, second half? And if you could also provide some guidance on overall growth numbers for the second half.
See, on the EBITDA level, whatever drop you are looking at is basically due to the commodity loss, which, as I explained, we booked for this quarter. Having said that, this commodity loss is, I think, something is now behind us. I don't think that we will have this situation as we go forward in the next quarter. We should continue to grow on double digit as we have been able to do in H1. H2 also, and since with the demand forecast is more in H2, so we should be able to grow. And our steady state run rate per ton on EBITDA as well as gross margin and other business parameter, we should be able to deliver that what we have been able to deliver for last more than 10 quarters. So it should be a normal quarter three and quarter four. Quarter one, quarter two, of course, remain an exceptional only because of something which we never actually expected on hedging front.
Got it. Just to follow up on that, sir, when will the pricing correction will be taken in the edible oil business? When will that base get over? Because revenue growth is still negative, right? So I know that the volume growth is in double digits, but when does the pricing comes into our base and we can see revenue growth as well?
Sir, sorry, you're not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Just asking about the pricing. Are we taking any further pricing action on edible oil portfolio, or it's just a correction that we've taken earlier?
You see, on edible oil, the prices have actually come down steadily over the last three quarters. July, August, September also, the prices corrected by almost 5,000 to 6,000 rupees a ton. But somewhere we see the bottom out is happening and the markets are now getting back into the steadiness or a little positive side. Now, we generally don't follow so much on the prices. Our pricings are based on the market prices, and basis that we are doing it. I cannot comment like that, but looks like the bottom is over. The markets may not fall, so that is how it will remain steady. But even if it falls, doesn't matter. For us, the brand takes that much amount of cushion. Price-wise, these are all very acceptable price to the consumers.
Got it. Also, say you highlighted that the rural is growing slightly better than the urban markets. So would you attribute that to a better demand environment and improving demand environment in the rural markets, or would you be attribute that to your distribution expansion that you're currently carrying?
See, rural contributes roughly 30% of edible oil business and around 31-32% of the food business. Now, the growth, if you see both Q2 as well as the first half, the growth of rural has been slightly higher than urban. There can be two, three reasons. One, the edible oil prices have actually now been seeped into, and consumers feel these are good prices, so they are comfortable with it. One. Two, the food business has done well because wheat, we are seeing there is a very good growth in branded wheat flour business. That is because the government PDS reduction and pre-open market sales reduction has ensured that the availability of cheaper wheat is not there so much. So people are buying flour, and then people obviously would prefer a branded flour. So that we are seeing branded flour is increasing. Even local rice is increasing. Sugar, we do around 25-26% of the branded sugar sales comes from rural market. You won't believe, but 45% of my besan business comes from rural market. Half kilo besan, I can tell you. So branded besan is doing so well. So all these products shows that rural markets are slowly gearing up, but H2 will be better than H1. Normally, we have seen rural does better in H2.
Got it. Also, if you could give some broad breakup of your food business in terms of branded consumer business, the Horeca business, and the exports business.
Okay. On food, if you take total food basket, our domestic business is bigger, out of which the branded business, total food branded business, will be roughly around 80%, 80-85%. Rest of that is traded product. That is one. Two, exports of food is less because basmati, non-basmati rice got impacted, and that is why our rice exports reduced. But overall, we do roughly around 200,000 tons of exports food business on a good year. Now that has reduced a little bit because of the export restriction of rice. Third is Horeca. Horeca business we started around 8 quarters back as Horeca. Otherwise, distributors were supplying to hotels, but now we have a separate division, separate team, separate distributors, separate mechanism to monitor it, which is now growing at almost 50% quarter on quarter. And we today do roughly around 100,000 tons of food and oil only to Horeca, branded sales to Horeca.
Good. Thank you so much. I have a few more questions. I'll come back.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nitin Gupta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I basically wanted to get a sense on, like, since we are operating in the food part of the business, so we have been getting out regional competition getting aggressive. So just wanted to have a sense from you which part of the business you are seeing more competition from the regional players.
See, in oil and food, both we have seen competition from regional players. In edible oil, it is mainly non-refined, like mustard oil, groundnut oil, cottonseed oil, you will get, which are local oil, rice bran oil. You will get local competition that is stronger than national brands. And in refined oil, it is the national brands. Now, for us, and in food, atta, we have several small players, but they are all in a state or within a state also, they are in one location. Besan, I have seen 8-10 such local players, and sugar also, you have seen such kind of players. So for us, our strength is our distribution model, that is the integrated distribution model. So when we start in a factory, we have more than one product, so it will be food and oil in each of the factories. So we have common manufacturing facilities. After that, we have common distribution facilities, so obviously our distributors are common, salespeople are common, and then the retailer is common. So this entire common chain helps in reducing cost per ton. And in commodity business, you will agree that ability to reduce your cost and pass on that benefit to the consumers will be most important. So if you have to fight, we fight against quality, one, consistency of quality, brand power, and distribution strength. So we can take all our products to the retailer and give him the option to buy anything or everything. That gives us strength at the ground level. So overall, for us, yes, consumer competition is there from the local players, but we are able to grow faster than them.
Just wanted to get a sense on, like, this time around, it is more of raw material prices coming down and sort of this surge in competition. So do you consider this competition is like, say, pre-COVID levels when the raw material prices are stable at that level, or you still expect the normalcy to resume in next couple of quarters?
I think we are back at pre-COVID levels in terms of consumption, and with this new wedding season coming up, we will see very big wedding season. Why very big? A number of people, restriction is not there. People are going out and spending, and they're going out and eating. So out-of-home consumption is going to be very big. And I have seen good brands have advantage. People like us have advantage because I'm giving a plate of products, which basket of products. So that helps the hotel to pick from us any and everything. So we give them a basket, and we give them better service. So our distributors are more aligned for it. So there we have advantage.
Yeah, thanks a lot. But my question was more from the perspective of regional competition. So from the competition, what we see from the regional players, so this has gone up at the back of easing in raw material prices. They have re-emerged in the market and sort of giving us a competition. So from competitive lens, how do you think pre-COVID and post-COVID?
See, regional competition was there earlier also pre-COVID. It is now there also. But over the time, I am seeing regional competition is reducing in basic staples because, one, ability to buy and store is reducing. Second, ability to distribute cost-effectively is they are losing on it. And second, consumers are becoming quality conscious. So end of the day, good brands will win. Even if it's a regional player, but he's giving consistently good quality, we'll also win. So, but slowly, the regional players are losing out on these fronts. But not that they will not exist. Regional players will always exist.
Sure. Thank you. And my last question is with respect to this cold-pressed oil or sort of a super premium single commodity oil, where like players like Dabur have emerged and you have Tata Consumer launching products in the traditional companies, while there are multiple players operating in that segment. So how big is that segment, and what is your thought to participate in that segment?
See, these are very small segment and very niche segment of cold press. Yes, it is visible, but they don't sell so much, and volume-wise, surely very, very small. We are also introducing our own cold press oil, which we are now ready, and possibly in a couple of months, we will introduce first with the mustard oil, because there we have a lot of strengths as number one brand of mustard oil. So we can do that. So we are working on it. But these are niche products still today in India, but we will surely be there.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Jasmine Surana from VD Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand the trend of the new...
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you speak through the handset?
Just hi, I wanted to understand the contribution from the new products which we have launched recently. And another question would be on the mix in terms of our edible oil, our FMCG and the industrial portfolio. So we can see the historic trend was around 80% of edible oil, around 5% of FMCG, which has now changed a little bit. So where do we see these numbers stabilizing?
Yeah, I will answer your second question first, which is about the contribution of various product lines. See, we don't look at the contribution of the product from a revenue perspective because the edible oil prices keep moving up and down and therefore you don't get a real structure of the contribution. So what we look at is volume contribution. So as we speak today, close to 58% now comes from edible oil, which earlier used to be 65% 2 years back. So it's slowly coming down from 65 to 58. And what is going up is basically a food and FMCG segment from 11% to 18% in last 2 years. So 58% contributed by edible oil, 18% by food and FMCG, and rest is coming from the industry essentials. So this is how the construct our product lines. Having said that, as we go forward, the food and FMCG will keep going up because food and FMCG today is growing at a CAGR of plus of 30% year on year, whereas edible oil will keep growing at a with a single digit kind of growth, but that is how the industry is. And therefore, as we go forward, the food will significantly improve, edible oil will slowly come down, and that's good because to that extent you are de-risking your entire business model, because edible oil certainly has got its own risk profile due to the commodity hedging, commodity volatility. And coming back to your first question, can you just repeat that first question again?
My question was on the NPD and on the mix.
Okay, so NPD, basically we have today, last year we launched poha, which is the flattened rice. Then we had a khichdi, then we had a chunkies, and then we have lined up couple of, like we have a biryani kit. It's a very, at a very nascent stage and does have a very, very small volume to cater in the entire scheme of the things. But having said that, it is growing steadily. These are all niche products and therefore will never be able to showcase a very huge kind of volume. But these are good value and margin accretive products, and we are hopeful that we would keep growing on this year on year.
Thank you. Just a last question in terms of the premiumized products that we're selling. Would you be able to get a ratio of how much of the products are selling in the premium end and how much are at the mass end?
See, I can give you one breakup. I wouldn't be able to give you how much is premium and how much is not premium. But for us, the Fortune brand itself is a premium brand in the country. So therefore, when we look at edible oil portfolio, and when we look at food and FMCG portfolio, close to 65% of our branded sale comes from the Fortune, which according to us is a premium brand for us. And then rest of the 35% is from all our masterpiece brand or a fighter brand, which are there in the market to protect the Fortune.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for attending this call. We request everyone to keep attending our quarterly earnings call to know business more, to know company more. Thank you again, and we look forward to see you again in the next quarterly call. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.